71 exams. Again, two of those not readable, and it was critical because those are baselines. And in order to note any change in that reflux, we really need to have that baseline information. Now, this isn't of concern. It's not a red flag at this point. One of them, a patient refused to stand. My recommendation in that situation would be, if you have a patient that maybe their symptoms are so bad, it's uncomfortable, they can't stand for a long period of time. These are very sophisticated institutions that we're working with for post-thrombotic syndrome. Do what you can to prove the absence or presence of reflux. So if you have to do it lying down, if you have to use manual compression, again, these are only for those patients where you really won't be able to give us any data and you have to use sort of a bailout method. We'll make the decision at VASCOR if where to plug that data into the whole thing, but you would have to let us know, put a little note in on the worksheet that states the patient was done not per protocol, but maybe supine. So that's the only recommendation for the reflux exams. The other one's a completeness issue, where we have some of the data, but not all of the data. And this is just where you really need to pay attention to the protocol. We've tried to design the examiner worksheet so they're a reference point for the stenographers. If you don't see patients for a number of months, it's easy to forget what components you need to capture. And then the other one is the six-month stent diameter measurement. We were able to see that the stent was clearly patent, but they did not complete the diameter measurements. If you submit us DICOM images, we would be able to attempt to try and capture some of that data, but it is important to review the protocol again to realize that at 6 months, you do need to capture the diameter measurements. So, unscheduled visits. We actually sort of had an extra call because this is problematic in two ways. First, it's not done per protocol, so we don't get any data from it. We're really looking to assess for recurrent DVT in this patient population. The other problem is the patient where we get an unscheduled visit that is part of your internal routine protocols. So the first visit after baseline is 6 months. If that patient comes back and you have an event triggered because of symptoms, and I think that's what we're looking for, then that would be an exam that does need review by VASCOR and should be submitted. And if it's not done per protocol, let's say it's done in the ER and it's a limited exam, do what you can to fill out the worksheet and just let us know, add a note. And so also the study team, I know McMaster's and everybody, we're all trying to work out processes to help you with that. But we're also trying to help you with the ones that don't need to be submitted. And if in your internal protocol a stent is placed and you're gonna do an exam after that stent is placed before discharge, that's not an unscheduled visit, okay? That's your internal routine protocols. It's not part of the CTRAC study. Do not submit that. And when we get the images at VASCOR, we have no way of knowing that it was really a routine protocol. So just make sure you review that, and it's really only the exams that are triggered by an event for the patient. There is a checklist. Maybe you want to give that to your emergency room. If that's where these patients, you start to see that they're going there in the middle of the night, maybe that would help them at least know that they should capture the images that we need to read the study for CTRAC. So as I mentioned, just remember, always take another look at the protocol so we do get all the complete information that we need. There are three components, as we know, to duplex. The B-mode image is going to be our primary mode to evaluate patients for venous disease. And the primary reason that we're unable to read a study is just that it's a suboptimal exam. We all know that when you're doing an exam real time, you're doing that compression, you're moving down the limb, it's very easy to tell if your vein's compressing or not. But then you take the one picture, because now you're moving on, you're satisfied as the examiner that it compressed, but the image you took doesn't prove it to an independent reviewer. And that's generally the problem. So it's not like people are doing poor studies, it's just that their images aren't proving it to independent readers. And that's just a whole different type of image acquisition. Spectral Doppler we're using for patency, and we do not require you measure the angles. We're not measuring them and calculating the velocity. That's when you need to measure it. But if you go over 60 degrees, you minimize the Doppler, returning Doppler signal, and then you have a problem because you get a lousy waveform. And that's a technical error. It's not anything to do with patency. Color Doppler is used as a correlation, and this is something you could use if you have a problem with a patient that won't stand and to prove reflux. get good manual compression, document a cine loop clip with color. Again, that will prove the absence or presence. We won't have a reflux time, but we'll at least know whether or not that patient does have reflux. So for the B-mode image quality, it's just a good example. If you can even take this slide set back to your techs that are performing studies for CTRAF, and to them, this might look like a completely good example. When you have a static image, and they've taken a vein, and they've now compressed it, and you can't see it anymore, you know, have them throw an arrow in there and show it to us. Or sometimes you have a widely patent vein, and then they do the compression, and we don't know if they rolled off the vein, we don't know if the walls are there, so just a little arrow, throw it in there, or keep it easy, do cine loop compressions. All they have to do is a few clips all the way down, and we'll be able to then see. And we not only want to watch that vein compress, but we want to watch it open, because it's the only way we know that they didn't roll off the vein while they're actually pressing on it. And we don't get a lot of cine loop clips. Even the dual image format is nice, but unfortunately it doesn't give us the real-time information. So that is a deal breaker, and here's a perfect example of that clip. You can see here that we have clot. And let's see if I get it to play again. Because you can see, there we go, that at one point, it doesn't even look like there's thrombus there until they actually compress. The thrombus becomes more organized, more echogenic, and then you can see it. So this is where it's also helpful. If you were to do that in color, we might actually totally miss the presence of thrombus. And also, we want to be able to try and age this, because we are looking for recurrent thrombosis in some of these patients that come back for an unscheduled event. And in a patient that has pre-existing disease, that's a very challenging diagnosis. And in that case, cine loop clips would almost be essential. Here's another one just showing you. I'm only focusing on those images that have limited us, our ability to read a study. And so I'm not talking about the spectral Doppler or the diameter measurements. Those are all pretty standard, and we haven't seen any issues with those. But this is our number one problem. So again, you can see in this static image, we're unable to tell if that completely compresses. And obviously the person that's doing the exam can see it, but if they didn't capture that image when both walls are coapting, we have no way of really being able to prove there wasn't some mild disease there. Image optimization is another key component to being able to assess patency. And you can see this is just sort of like Goldilocks and the three bears. We have too little gain, too much gain, and then it's just right. And when you're compressing and doing it in real time, you don't have a tendency to not adjust every image. It can be time consuming. So if it's widely patent and you have a good image, you don't have to waste any time on adding that. But when you have a patient that doesn't image very well, we need to know, are those intraluminal echoes the presence of some disease, or is it just artifact from gain? So as I mentioned, using cine loop clips, here's a good example of one where this is such a minor defect. And if that's at baseline and the patient comes back, we want to see if anything happens to that. And it's also critical that you have good image of that, so the person doing the next exam at 6 months might not have done the first exam, that they know exactly where to go to find that minor defect. Yeah. Patency, as I mentioned, spectral Doppler, the only problem we see there is people using 90 degree angles, and you can sort of see that with this image over here. Is that a continuous waveform because there's some obstruction? Or is it because they're at 90 degrees and they're not getting a good return signal? This is what you can get when you actually optimize your angle closer to zero. So key points for the standing reflux exam, we are requiring that. So when all patients that can stand, or if you have a tilt table, that's a great luxury. If you have one, use a tilt table. We are requiring an automated cuff inflator. The reason why we have a much more aggressive reflux exam than you might have for your internal protocols is we want to standardize it amongst all institutions. And this is really the only way to do that. And then the reflux measurements, we are actually asking to see if you can change the sweep speed so you can capture the entire length of the refluxing component. So in order to be successful, remember you must make every effort to bring your patients back for the scheduled follow-up. Distribute vascular feedbacks to the appropriate tech. That's how we communicate with the sites. So when we see these issues that could be a potential problem, from baseline, and we want to make sure at 6 months we get this information, we would notify you via feedback. And we always put the name of the examiner down there, so please make sure they get a copy of that. Track unscheduled visit studies, submit when appropriate, and just remember that missing endpoints will sink the study. We're all in this together, so please remember, we're here to make the team, as part of the team, to help you be successful. Our contact information is here. We have a global email address. If you want to connect with anybody, all you need to do is put in CTRAC, and we'll be happy to get back to you. Or call us anytime and just ask for tech support. We have real people that answer the phone, so you don't need to know a name or a menu. And on that note, does anybody have any questions? Well, again, please go home and thank